This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
You're listening to the Nerdcast.
I feel like I should say something smart.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling.
Only on Project Nerd.
That is one big pile of shit.
Well, I have my keyboard behind my microphone, so...
So it's picking up everything.
Yeah, and it's a mechanical keyboard, so it can be kind of loud sometimes.
Well, it is episode 197 of the Nerdcast, and we are here, no Adam, but we do have Bob, Tyler, myself, Iggy, and we are joined by Ocon Expo's star. I don't know, what should we call you? The
event director.
Grand Poobah.
I was going to say Grand Poobah.
I like it. Matt, by the way, that's Matt would be the correct name to go with that title. So how you guys doing?
Fine.
All at once. Super exciting. Back after a month that we were just talking about before we started recording. It was May 20th, last time we actually got together to record. May 22nd was the Game of Thrones episode. Of course, if you are checking out the Nerdcast, we've had some fun content left over from Planet Comic Con showing up in those air channels. I don't know. Words. But speaking of conventions, that's why we got Matt here, because we're all geared up. We're ready. Ocon Expo, June 28th, 29th, 30th.
Woohoo!
Baja Council Bluffs, Mid-America Center. And you guys just had a huge announcement, too, which was super exciting.
We just announced having Bordas at our show. I'm real, real excited about that.
I am, too. Peter Macon or Macon? How do we say it?
Macon, I believe. I'm 99% sure you say Macon.
All right. Peter Macon. The Orville's been incredible. The second season was really good. Did you guys watch it all the way through?
I have. It's real good.
I really like the time travel. The way they approached the time travel thing was very interesting. And then how that ended up into kind of like a two-part finale was really fantastic too. So it was a good season. And they're renewed for sure for season three. So that's exciting. But Seth MacFarlane definitely doing some good work there.
Yep.
I felt like he had gotten very repetitive in his other stuff. It was all very similar, but this is way different and very much a good homage to Star Trek. But since we haven't met for a month, we've got tons and tons and tons to talk about. But as we do before we start ahead of every convention with the podcast, we have one really important topic to talk about, and that's where we go to convention. What are we eating, boys? What are we eating? Because we got to talk the food.
Yeah.
Always, always, always the food. Matt, what are you recommending for us in terms of fine dining when we head out to Ocon this year?
I mean, I gotta say that the 100 block is really good. There's this place called Barley Street Tavern that I've been frequenting more often. They've got surprisingly good pizzas that are like, you know, there's like this Thai chicken pizza that I'm just like, hey, that's pretty good.
Chicken pizza?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I would say there is my number one pick this year. Omaha just got a monster pub as well, but I haven't been there. I don't know much about it.
Yeah, it looked interesting for sure. It was formerly, what was it, a game store or what was it? I don't even know what it was.
Man, I don't know. It's in downtown Omaha. It's one of those things that changes every 5 minutes.
Right. So last time we were out, we were actually surprised because there didn't feel like there was too much around the Mid-America Center. And we ended up going to a place where a bunch of the other creator guests and everything went to. It was that, what is that? That kind of pub bar that was just...
Maddox, was that it?
Was that it, Maddox? That was really good. So it's right there. I mean, technically walking distance from the con. So if people are at the hotels, that was good. And you'll probably run into some of the guests and stuff there too, possibly. Because it's definitely, there's some good chains around there too, but that's the best. That was a great option. That wasn't a chain. Very crowded. So get in there early for sure. But I had the, what did we had like a burger with like mozzarella cheese sticks on top of it and Parmesan sauce.
Yeah, I think I remember that. Yeah.
Wings, I don't remember. It was pretty good.
I think, yeah, there was a bunch of people got wings because they were, I think wings is what everybody was saying they were known for. The waitresses were telling us. But it was, they had some creative things for sure. It was definitely interesting.
I still think one of these times we gotta go all in on the casino buffet.
We went, so what was it, like 3 or 4 years ago now when
it was 2 years ago.
Was it? Mm-hmm. And the only problem was is because we had Laura with us and she's a vegan and they had like no vegan options. And I don't blame her at all, but she's like, I'm not dropping $20 to sit there and watch you guys eat.
I thought the problem was you didn't want to drop. Yeah, you didn't want to drop the $27 for crab legs.
Yeah, it was all you could eat, baby. I almost ditched all of you and just went with John and Jerry and went to the buffet.
I would have gone to the buffet.
Here's the thing. I would have dropped 27, rather dropped, because I almost dropped $27 at the hotel restaurant and it was real terrible.
It was good food. It just wasn't worth $27. It's a burger. It was a burger or a single pizza. Yeah. But it's hotel pricing for food always like that. But yeah.
Crab legs, all you can.
Could have, for sure. So as always, your advice or feedback, whatever you want to call it, just let us know in the comments where you're eating at Ocon this year or what you recommend we eat in Omaha or Council Bluffs when we head out there. I know Jazz, I might be heading on over there too that weekend. So
the one thing we got to remember though with us is we're going to have a massive crowd with us.
Yeah. So the Project Nerd Pavilion,
the entourage,
we got set up this year, and because we have such a big setup, we do have a large team, and then of course the people we have coming out too, the cosplay guests, we love those guys. Wolfgar Weapons, it's going to be awesome. I know James Wolfgar himself is helping judge the cosplay competition, which I think is awesome. This year Matt and I worked closely together to make sure your judges at the cosplay competition are all three legit professionals in their field. So we've got James Wolfgar, who builds props for now movies and music videos and stuff like that. We have Benito, who is well known in, especially in the area, for his special effects and makeup and all that in the company. What's his company's name, Matt? I don't remember.
I don't.
We will double check on that. Sorry, Benito. And then of course, Amanda, or Esmeralda Von Katz, who is the single costume maker for the entire Omaha Theater. So every play and performance in the Omaha Public Theater, all those costumes are done by her, and they're typically fantastic. We get to see a lot of pictures on top of the fact that her costumes specifically are typically fantastic as well. So I think it's cool because you got a special effects kind of makeup professional, you got a prop person, and then you got like the costume seamstress person. So you're going to get all three perspectives from the judges here. Some good prejudging. We got all the rules set up. So if you haven't registered yet, you can head on over to oconexpo.com. Check out the contest. There is a form still. And I just looked at, because we are limiting 15 per for the journeyman and master categories. And I just looked at that and there is still room, a couple spots in the journeyman and still a lot of spots left in the master category. So you do have time to register. So get over there and do that now. While you're at it, buy those tickets too. You don't want to get caught in line getting tickets while you should be over and prejudging.
And then if you're not going to sign up, show up anyway, because it is the highlight of the show, if I do say so myself.
It is. Well, and this year too, we have, so if you don't want to compete, you just want to get on stage and show off your costume, we do have just the, to where when the judges go to deliberate, we'll just have kind of the
masquerade. Is that the word you're looking for?
That's the good word. That's the good word right there. Masquerade, where you can just kind of walk through, show it off, and a good set of all the press photographers as well as the, you know, invited photographers will be there getting your pictures. So you'll get some good pictures out of it if you wander across that stage for sure. But I don't know. I'm excited. What else are you guys looking forward to this year at Ocon Expo?
I'm excited for it to be over.
Matt's working hard. You're a week and a half out, so he's definitely probably doesn't even want to try to count the hours long each day's been recently.
Yeah. We just crammed a whole bunch of time on the schedule and maps and stuff like that today. So, you know, it's good. I don't want to sound too exhausted, but it's exhausting.
We get it. It's definitely a lot of work, and we appreciate you putting forth the effort, and I'm sure a lot of Omaha Council Bluffs does too.
I'm excited. One of the cool things that Matt has always done at Ocon that I appreciate is always gets lots of awesome voice actors. And I am a nut and a nerd for voiceover actors. So Steve Blum and Mary Elizabeth McGlynn. So if you have listened to almost any dubbed anime in the last like 20 years, you've heard them do so many characters.
It's kind of fun. I'm sorry. I'm just gonna talk.
Bring it, Matt.
Steve Bloom. He just tweeted back at us because of our Cuddle a Corgi panel, and he was all like, "Yeah, I'll probably be there. Just don't tell Ayn, you know." So that's great, because Ayn is the corgi in Cowboy Bebop, and I thought that was fantastic.
So the corgi group has been tweeting it, so they have at least one of the corgis in costume then for.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So I know. So last year, unfortunately, they didn't have youth size shirts. So my daughter, who's crazy about dogs and especially corgis, has had this adult medium that she's been using as a sleep shirt. This year I made sure to pre-order because they do have youth sizes. So they have youth sizes. Not only that, they have corgis in front of a rainbow on one of the youth size shirts. So she's going to freak when we get there and pick it up. So you can also find that on the Ocon Twitter. I think you guys were really tweeting it.
All this
stuff about that. So
I could see her right now. Just
oh yeah, she puts her hands over her face. Like that. That's her. Yeah, for sure.
And all of the proceeds from those shirts go towards the Little White Dog Rescue here in Omaha. So it's for a good cause as well.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, people pay $20 for a shirt for no cause. You might as well pay one for a good cause, right?
Absolutely.
Bob, what do you got? We've got voice actors. We've got Corgi room. We've got excited about the planning winding down. what other exciting?
I tell you, we got some good guests here. We got Sam Jones. Flash Gordon is going to be there. Holy crap! I actually went and bought that this weekend because I actually saw that in the theater when it first came out, and it was just like I was in just having giddy fits.
Hold the phone.
Yes,
I own that already though.
I didn't. I thought I did.
There was a movie Bob didn't own?
I seriously thought I had it, but I didn't. I mean, luckily I noticed that I did have a copy of Dune, but Flash Gordon, I did not have. And so I got it, and I watched it over the weekend at work. And
I love how he watches his movies. Such a tough kid there, Bob.
And it was just brought back a lot of memories. So it'll be kind of neat to talk to Sam Jones and, you know, go in from there to Ted and some of the other stuff he's done. Kate Flannery from The Office is going to be there, which I'm kind of excited about. Those of you who like your wrestling, Lita Rar is going to be there.
What was that, Bob?
That was awkward.
That's our new intro. Right
also, as someone who was a huge, huge creepy fan of Farscape, Gigi Edgley will be there, who is Gianna, and I.
This is her second time there, right?
Nope.
Oh, no, she wasn't there before?
Nope, this is our first time with her there this year.
Oh, she was trying to come then a few years back. Was that it?
I'm not sure. I know that we've tried before and it just hasn't worked out.
Yeah, so that's what it was. I knew her name had came up before. I don't know why but she's great. She's a fantastic guest at shows too. So
yeah.
The ones that I'm familiar with, I know, are all great personalities, great convention guests. So, and if your fans
are Macon.
Yo, definitely. That's exciting. We haven't met him at any. I haven't
seen him. He was supposed to be there last year, but
I haven't seen him do shows lately. Yeah.
That's big because we definitely haven't seen him. But most of these guests, I don't know the last time we've seen the ones that we have seen. So
yeah,
list right here. Excited for that. Some good creator guests as always. And we'll have a few of them over at our booth, our section, which I'll detail here in just a minute. Some awesome creative guests. So if you're into the comic side of things too, definitely get over there. Some Midwest ones that I know are building a present, you know, like Kaylin Smith,
who's got her free comic book day.
Hope,
which is pretty cool.
With Dirk Manning. Yeah. The two of them worked together on that. It was pretty awesome. But who else we got, Matt, creator guest wise?
Well, we've got our good old friend, Phil Hester, who I can never not plug because he has one of my favorite panels, the Pester Hester and Pals.
For the panel alone, you bring him every day. Right.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like how can you not just be all about that Pester Hester? But yeah, I mean we've got over 30 guests, so I'm not gonna remember them all and I'm gonna feel bad. But I'm really excited about Allison Wilgus, who's going to be there this year. She's brand new. She has a graphic novel called Cronin. It was like, she had interviews on like NPR and stuff about, like, it was like very critically acclaimed. And I'm super excited about Mark Russell, who's another big guy that we have this year. That's, he did Snagglepuss and the Flintstones and like those DC alternate universe, Hanna-Barbera.
Let's not forget one of Project Nerd's favorite, Mr. Ant Lucha, coming on over his Ocon debut. If you're not familiar with the name, you're definitely familiar with his work, the DC Bombshells, which started as a statue line and has now led to a comic series, pop figures, posters, toys. I don't even know the countless of things. There's a whole division of DC just managing that guy's artwork now. He's super nice. All these guests are super nice, at least the ones we've met so far. I'm sure the other ones are too. But awesome. And who else? Yeah, you said Phil Hester, definitely him. And Andy Parks.
Yep.
Returns. Of course, and then author, so not comic book writer, but author, was it Tosca Lee?
Tosca Lee.
Tosca Lee, okay. I'm always the worst with names. And then what you said, wrestling fans earlier, Bob, but you don't forget every year.
We got wrestling. We got
actual wrestling, right? So PWP Live Pro Wrestling in the Expo Hall. And they have do they still have the Ocon belt from last year?
The Ocon title belt. There'll be the wrestler Purple. He actually is making his debut back from neck surgery tomorrow night. He was out for like 6 or 7 months because he had some neck surgery, and he will be defending that title at the show.
There you go. So he's he gets a warm-up match in then this week beforehand. That's good. So that way he's got a little bit of good chance to defend that title. So all kinds of cool stuff. And then, of course, as we mentioned earlier, if you're here for the cosplay too, cosplay is out on the cosplay form that I just looked at. There's like 50 names on there already. So there's going to be a lot of people on stage for the contest. As we mentioned, guest-wise, Termina Cosplay returns with her pals, the Wolfgar Weapons Crew. So the whole crew's coming out. And what's great about that is when they come out, they have these group costumes, they have these big builds, and you're going to see all these awesome weapons that we talk about. Their craft work is just phenomenal. And that's why we mentioned, it's not just music videos or cheap movies. We're talking about movies with big name actors in it too. You're starting to see their props in because they're so good. So definitely check that out. And then what's really cool, we're going to be set up Project Nerd Pavilion, which is actually in the Bud Light Party Zone, but across from us too is Podcast Pavilion, which is really big this year, a number of podcasts too. So it's sold out, a good set of podcasts there. You can check those out, but we have 1,000 square feet of space, guys. So Project Nerd is bringing it this year. So you can come check us out. We're going to have audience seating for our stuff as well, of course, with speakers for you guys to hear everything. We have our own panel space. So if you do head to Ocon Expo and you look at the schedule, you can find out what's happening at the Project Nerd Pavilion, at least on our podcast plaza side. If you go to the opposite side of the Bud Light Party Zone, you have our awesome live streaming interview lounge where we'll be live streaming from the couches all weekend long. We'll have guests over there as well as doing just some fun podcasts and talking about the show. Right in the middle, everybody's welcome. Come get your photo taken. We'll be throwing those pictures up over on the Ocons, some of them up on their social media, of course, all up on Project Nerd, as well as we can send those pictures directly to you. And then if you're out shopping and you just don't feel like going back in the heat to that parking lot, or you got a lot of stuff to carry around, you want to grab some food, come over to the Project Nerd Pavilion, learn a little bit about our new thing happening, the pop-up lockers. You can rent a locker for the weekend, store your stuff, get back to it by the end of the day or the end of the weekend, grab it all. That way, when you said, what was it, over 30 comic creator guests? Because you're going to be buying a lot of comics, clearly, with that many guests, not to mention all the exhibitors and everything too. So a lot happening at our booth. Come see us right in, just really, you just walk in and then just walk like a few feet and you'll see us right there on the right. But man, Ocon's always such a blast. There's so much going on there. I think we just spent like 20 minutes just, and we haven't even touched the tip. Like, we haven't even talked about all the programming, all the photo
hours of programming,
right?
And, you know, we have our expo hall,
Omaha Film Festival too.
Yeah.
Is there, how many, you got tons of vendors in the booth. The arena's full. And so all kinds of cool stuff. Yeah, we just touched the tip of the iceberg and we've already burned almost half the podcast just talking about it. So you guys got a lot going on. All 3 days going to be exciting. And come see us. We always like being there. And we got a big team, like I said, because we're doing a lot. So you'll see a lot of our blue shirts roaming around. pretty stoked. So if you got any feedback, of course, for us regarding it, you want to see anything done at the Podcast Pavilion, leave us a comment. As I said earlier, if you got recommendations for food or even anything regarding the guests or anything like that that are there, let us know what's going on. We're always happy to hear at any place you can leave a comment where you catch this podcast. But because we haven't met in a month, we do want to run down a few other lists of things. We got a lot of movies to talk about. We've got some new streaming service series to talk about. And then, of course, big discussions, some big news for San Diego Comic-Con, as well as E3 just happened. And guys, some bombs dropped that week. And then, of course, Eisner's, they were announced a little while back. I think we've definitely recorded since then. But what's huge is why I want to bring it up as we get closer and closer to it. Guys, for the first time ever, one publisher has swept the nominations for Best Series. All six nominees for Best Series belong to Image Comics, guys. It's huge. They're killing it. We've talked about it multiple times on the podcast that Image is just owning it right now. But we'll get to that in a little bit. So, Matt, I'm sure you've been too busy, but I don't know. Maybe you have. Have any of you guys been in the theaters lately to catch any of these movies that have been out?
I've got a few, but not as many as I would like.
Yeah, Bob, this is your time to shine.
I know. You got your list. You have your list here of like 10 movies, and I think I've seen maybe half of them.
Only half?
Man. Yeah, it's
and
it's,
you didn't own Flash Gordon before this week? Man, Bob.
I am just disappointing you.
You're slipping. You're slipping a little bit here. What ones have you seen? What ones have you caught?
Starting from the bottom, saw Godzilla, John Wick 3. Of course, you had to see John Wick 3. Saw Rocket Man. Oh my God, that's it.
You've only seen three?
Three.
Oh man, dude.
I am slacking big time.
Dude, John Wick 3. First of all, let's just talk about John Wick 3.
No.
I know we got a few minutes on it when we did that. I think when we did the Game of Thrones episode, because it came out right then, but we spent that whole episode on Game of Thrones, so we didn't really focus on it. But Matt, you need to go see John Wick 3 as soon as your convention's over, because man, it is awesome. It is definitely worth it. Tyler, you saw that one too, right?
I did. I saw two of the three that Bob saw. I saw John Wick 3 and Godzilla. I can't help with any of the other ones. I will say that of everyone on that list, with the exception of maybe Aladdin, and Rocket Man. Rocket Man got really good reviews.
Yeah.
Most everything else on that list has been not box office and critical acclaim has been kind of like meh.
Right. So Godzilla
thing was Dark Phoenix. That oof. Was just oof, so good. No.
For those that don't get access to the video, right. Definitely alluding that he is not telling the truth right now.
It is not the truth.
Well, Godzilla, Dark Phoenix have both bombed and have not been talked about favorably.
Godzilla's fucking awesome, and anyone who says differently.
I enjoyed Godzilla.
But it's
Godzilla movie?
It's terrible. Well, there's some that are just bad. This one's bad in the best way possible. Like it's the perfect amount of hammy ridiculousness. Like, and they're playing it up big. Like there are characters in the movie. For instance, American Treasure, Bradley Whitford is in the movie, and he is just he is just chewing up the scenery. Like he is given the most ridiculous, over the top, Godzilla-esque, quirky scientist lines, and he makes a meal of them, and it's a thing of beauty. You can tell he's having so much fun.
My favorite line is when Kyle Chandler says God and he goes Zilla.
Yeah. There's a scene. So the what's his name from the television show? What's Kyle Chandler? So the dad from Friday Night Lights, the show, not the movie.
Right.
Is not a very fun character. He's a dad whose daughter's missing and he's lame and terrible and no one really likes him very much. But he does this thing where Godzilla comes swimming at the, like, whatever, and he sees him, and he's like, oh, my God. And then Bradley Whitford, right afterwards, is like, Zilla. And it's fucking hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. It sounds so terrible.
Oh, my God. It's so good. And then there's Mothra, and there's it's really good.
So people that I know that really like Godzilla, particularly all, especially like you said, the campiness and the fun of it, have actually said really good things about it. Overall, critically, it's not getting huge praise. And the same is with Dark Phoenix, though. But people who love X-Men aren't saying good things about Dark Phoenix, like the Godzilla side. So,
well, I mean, Godzilla, I don't know. I mean, Dark Phoenix, it's been a minute since there's been, outside of Logan, which I don't really, is kind of its own weird passion project thing. It's been a minute since there's been a good X-Men movie.
Yeah, we talked about that extensively last time, that I don't even think most of us saw Apocalypse in theaters.
If anything, I'm surprised that after the acquisition, Disney went as hard marketing as they did, because they had to have seen it and known, like, oh, this isn't going to go well.
Well, it had a review embargo. So they knew they could.
But they definitely put, I mean, maybe it was just like, we got to get as many people in seats in the first week before the reviews get out. But yeah, they pushed it. Disney's usually one of those, I mean, to be fair, Disney is usually a bit better about making sure movies like that don't make it to theaters in the first place. But at the same time, like, usually they'll dial back when they know something's not good, they'll switch the weekend and dial back the marketing and just say, yeah, whatever. Some people will see it.
But you know, this wasn't Disney's fault. It was fine.
I'm not saying it is. I'm just surprised, like, they made the acquisition, got the movie. I'm surprised they didn't watch a print of it and be like, yeah, well, fuck that. Throw that one on some terrible weekend and never speak of it again.
They did just scrap, like we said, I think we talked about a few episodes ago, the New Mutants or whatever,
yeah,
was just scrapped from the schedule. It's nowhere to be found anymore. So they did do that one at least. But I think that one was still far enough out. Dark Phoenix was pretty much already here. And maybe it was, I mean.
And there's a lot of names in it. Like you maybe don't can a Jennifer Lawrence / Sophie Turner / James McAvoy and Fassbender movie. You don't maybe get to throw that one in the trash can, but.
Right.
Well, they did. I mean, I know they talked a little bit with Maisie Williams, who's in the New Mutants, when they were doing press for the last episode of Game of Thrones. And she did talk about that. She's still working on that. It's still possible that's going to see the light of day.
So also on the list, we had Secret Life of Pets 2, which I don't think any of us saw. But typically we talk about it, and Tyler is notorious for saying it. Throw an animated kids movie sequel in theaters and it'll do great. It's not done bad, but it hasn't done as successful as probably thought to be. We also had Dead Don't Die, which you can head over to Project Nerd and check out our review over there. Our reviewer gave it a 5 out of 5. It is very much you have to like that style of movie type thing is what I'm taking away from it. Men in Black International, critics did not like it at all. Starting to see a little bit more positive from it from people that I know that have gone and seen it, but it's definitely an on the fence type movie. On the list, too, we have Aladdin, and the reason I wanted to bring that up is that quietly it has snuck into number 3, both domestic and worldwide, only behind Captain Marvel and Avengers Endgame. It passed Wandering Earth worldwide, guys. So Aladdin has made some money for Disney.
I don't think that's a surprise.
Well, I don't know. Dumbo didn't make that much. I know Beauty and the Beast last year was a huge success as well. And, of course, I think Lion King will be a huge success, too.
There's a difference between, though, like the nostalgia factor plus like attachment people to have something like the Princess movies and Lion King and the late 80s, early 90s renaissance versus like Dumbo is one of the classics, but like how many kids
know Dumbo
who weren't alive when that movie came out, you know, own Dumbo memorabilia, have a stuffed Dumbo, whereas like there are plenty of kids who were not my kids yeah, but there's plenty of kids who were not alive when Beauty and the Beast came out or when Little Mermaid and know exactly who all those characters are. So I mean, there's a little bit, and like you look at Jungle Book was really good and did okay, but it didn't make Beauty and the Beast or Aladdin money.
Yeah,
no,
I mean Dumbo,
because it's one of those older movies.
Dumbo
and Cinderella, and Cinderella didn't do that great. I mean, Cinderella did really well, but the late 80s, early 90s ones, our generation's Disney movies are the ones that are going to bank it.
Disney made Dumbo mainly probably for adults. You know, it does look like it's a little less, you know, childish than, say, Aladdin.
There's not a lot of kids clamoring to see that next Colin Farrell / Danny DeVito / Michael Keaton flick.
But Aladdin was really good, actually, guys. And again, number 3 domestically and worldwide, giving Disney both top 3 worldwide already this year. I enjoyed it tremendously, like way better than I went in expecting it to be good and still was pleasantly surprised with how good it was. My daughter was not, for some reason, looking forward to it at all. And at the end of it, she was like, wow, that was really good. She was really surprised with how good it was. So really enjoyable, and got me even more excited for Lion King coming up here in July. I don't have my kids that weekend. I don't care. I will go watch Lion King by myself. Might get weird. It might get weird, guys.
It won't be weird. It'll be fine.
So last bit of movie news that I definitely wanted to touch on, guys. So it's still in theaters, select screens, but Avengers Endgame, $46 million away from Avatar worldwide. This is going to be a down to the last bit. And my question really to you guys is, does Disney try to keep it in as many screens as possible to try to get that last $46 million?
It's going to stay in theaters till Labor Day, I predict. It's going to go as long as possible for Disney to get that number.
If it stays until Labor Day, I feel like it can hit that 46 yeah. million. But also, this is worldwide too.
I mean,
but that's also worldwide, yeah.
It's yeah, I mean, it, you say worldwide because like domestically, it's only making about 2 to 3 million a weekend right now, which yeah, is still respectable for a movie that's been in theaters for as long as it has been.
It just fell out of the top 10, by the way, this last weekend.
I don't know. Here's the thing about it, just like because Avatar was in theaters forever, and I think this is a big and because there's plenty of excuses to do this with Endgame. Avatar got a re-release that is included in its worldwide box office. Endgame could want, there's any number of reasons, whether it be an anniversary or a marathon or the beginning of a new phase or maybe putting the two movies together as a double feature a couple years from now, like it's going to get put back in theaters at some point after it leaves theaters, and it will, on nostalgia fact alone, it'll get that extra.
It'll get re-released for Oscar votes at the end of the year.
I was thinking they did the same for Black Panther last year. They gave it a little limited release towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised.
Go for an Oscar?
At least for certain categories, the technical categories and things like that. But if it is this close to Avatar for worldwide number one spot, I think that's an extra incentive for them to say, oh, we're putting it back in the theaters for a month or so for Oscar consideration, when part of it is probably also to say, we just need to last so many million dollars to get us back, you know, bump over that number one spot.
You know, I know AMC has a tendency to do this, like at the end of the summer before Labor Day, when we're in garbage time, when there's no real good IMAX movies. I think they did it with Infinity War and stuff like that. They put that in IMAX theaters for another week or so at the end of the summer just to fill the screens.
What week is it now for Endgame? How many weeks has it been in theaters?
It's been 2 months, is it?
I'm asking. I don't remember what day it came out. Like, has it been 8 weeks?
April 23rd, I think it was.
April 26th. So we're going close to 2 months, sitting at June 17th. So I would assume once this weekend hits, what would that be, 8 or 9 weekends when you actually look at a calendar?
Yeah, and when it's all, like, final count after counting re-releases and all sorts of stuff, Avatar was in theaters for like 34 weeks or something like that. Ridiculous. Yeah. Now, granted, towards the tail end, it was only in like select IMAX 3D theaters and was only making, you know, a few hundred grand a weekend. But yeah.
Avatar was still, so we're at a point now where we've talked about it. The box office, summer box office season now extends from pretty much February through December. When Avatar was still released, your January, February, and even into early March was still, as you mentioned earlier, Bob, quote unquote garbage time. So Avatar definitely had the advantage of getting all that January, February IMAX time because there was nothing else coming. And I can't remember what it was that finally came out in like the beginning of March or end of February that was a kids movie that took the IMAX screens away from it. But it went like 2 months before anything even competed to say, we want those IMAX screens or we're going to, you know, make money on the IMAX side. So Avatar definitely had that advantage as well. Obviously Endgame has the slight inflation advantage and bigger worldwide.
Avatar was in theaters for 7 weeks before it got knocked down to number two, and it got knocked down to number two by like Dear John, like the chick flick. And then the next week Percy Jackson came out.
That was it. Percy Jackson was the one.
It was number one for like 7 solid weeks, and week eight, it was like number two. And then by week 9, it was down to like 4 or something like that.
You know, the one bad thing that's coming up that's probably going to hurt in games is the home video releases like August 13th.
So as much fun as everybody enjoys us just breaking down the box office to no end, I'm going to move us on to streaming because there's a lot happening there as well. It is to the point, and I've read some great articles about how Netflix really has at this point 4 to 5 months to do something big because once Disney drops, and it's not even the matter that Disney is going to just take tons of subscribers. And if people have to choose one or the other, we know what many are going to choose. It's the matter of Disney's going to show how successful this can be. And as we talked about also in the past few episodes of the Nerdcast, it's going to domino effect to many of the other studios following the formula that Disney's going to develop here. And it's going to impact Netflix.
The formula of having DuckTales.
Well, that, I mean, first of all, if you can find some formula to have a DuckTales, Tailspin, right? All that kind of stuff, do it, because that stuff's gold. But my point is Disney's going to, they're going to undercut cost because they have that ability to, because of where else they make the money. And they're probably going to do some crazy things with it. We talked about it when we, back about two or three episodes. If you dig back through the Nerdcast episode, you'll find one titled It's Disney's World. Check that out if you want to hear us get into detail about Disney streaming service. And we explore some of the things, talking about, you know, limited releases straight to their serving or to their streaming as opposed to theaters, or or it comes out first on their streaming before you even get a chance to buy it. Things like that happening, which we might see other studios follow suit, because it's their Netflix, as we talked about, has to make their money from the streaming. Disney doesn't have to make their money from this service. This is just another place they can. So Netflix is pouring content out like crazy. And another cool thing about it is they are, anything that has been remotely successful, they are greenlighting another season, and they're letting you know about it. It might be 18 months out, but they're letting you know another season for this series is coming. So everything that I've ever enjoyed, if you scroll through it, it's like this just in, or whatever it says on there, new season coming soon or eventually or something. But the biggest thing that ties all this together, Disney and Netflix, the final season of The Defenders, Jessica Jones, season 3, did just drop this past weekend. Has anybody started it yet? No, I haven't. I haven't either. Okay, so we won't talk about it.
Like, tonight. I want to get mad at Amazon and Marvel. I mean, for Marvel and Netflix for unceremoniously just kind of killing that world. But at the same time, like, I kind of understand why they did, because I feel like I was the hugest fan of those from the start, and I got kind of burned out on them. Like, by the end of Defenders, yeah, I was kind of done. I made it through, what I want to say, I made it through the last Daredevil season, and then most of Punisher season 1. I don't think I've watched a full season of a single show of theirs. I didn't watch all of Cage season 2 or Iron Fist season 2 or Punisher season. I mean, I don't know. I was just kind of over them by that
point. I forgot Iron Fist even had a second season.
I think a lot of people did too. I think it was novel enough at the beginning and new enough and fun enough, but once they started doing it over and over again, the cracks started to show. The bad pacing, the like too many episodes, the big dip in the middle of every season. And Jessica Jones, the biggest thing I've said about it is people have said, yeah, it's pretty good, but it basically tells exactly the same story. Like, it just hits all the same beats that Jessica Jones hit in the first season and in the second season. And now they're doing it again for a third season.
But so, what's going to happen?
Her powers are inconsistent. Oh my God. No, Carrie.
But what's going to happen when we get Falcon and Winter Soldier and, Scarlet Witch series and stuff like that?
They're going to be
the same thing.
You're going to have learned from this, but two, you're also going to a bigger audience here. You're going to a different audience as well. Yeah. So you're not trying to, like I said, do something new and edgy and then repeating, like rinse, repeat, all right. So we haven't seen season 3 yet. Into this season, of all the seasons, of all the Defenders stuff we had, what was your favorite season?
It's probably still Daredevil season 1.
Good. I mean, that started it all too. It may be a toss up for Jessica Jones season 1.
Jessica Jones season 1 is really good. I would say its dip in the middle when it starts to drag is way worse than Daredevil season 1. They both have that mid-season dip because both seasons are about 3 episodes too long. And I will say 100% the reason both of those win is because of David Tennant and Vincent D'Onofrio. Like, yes, the Kingpin, sure, and Kilgrave, yeah, killed it. And I think Luke Cage could make a case for it if they hadn't killed Cottonmouth in the first, half the goddamn season. Like, you have Mahershala Ali playing the bad guy and you kill him halfway through the goddamn season.
Not even halfway, dude. Not even halfway. Like,
that was a poor decision. Then you replace him with Diamondback, who just sucks. All right, sorry.
I'm kidding. No, it's fine. It's fine.
Mahershala Ali was so good.
Oh, he's good in everything too. He's he was it before Keanu Reeves is now it. But all right, Jessica Jones final season, season 3. Let us know what you think. Of course, Preacher season 3 just dropped on Hulu. I down to the last episode and I had to stop right before we recorded this. The Boys hits Amazon, or it just hit Amazon.
This week. It is out. You can watch it right now. I almost started watching it before we broadcast this, and I forgot.
Had that, and right before that, Amazon dropped Good Omens, which, guys, talk about adapting.
All that.
Oh, adapting so fantastically, and the acting, the cast, everything about it. Tyler, you are the Gaiman Pratchett fan. What do you have to say about Good Omens?
It was fantastic. I will say that they definitely went, I mean, obviously Neil Gaiman was the actual showrunner as opposed to like being an executive producer in some of his other projects. Like, he ran the show and you can see it. The number of just like, we've got to fit this little bit in, we got this little fit in. Like, there are entire, it goes on these little flights of fancy, like totally unrelated to the plot, just to be like, no, this was an awesome part of the book, and by God, we're going to get it in here. Oh, like, the number of nods to the book readers, I almost feel bad. Like, usually I'm like, I don't know. So I have like, you got to make it accessible, but this didn't care. Like, it was like, if you haven't read the book, sorry, you're going to miss like half this shit, and we don't care because this is for this.
It's still,
it was still amazing because still I haven't read the book or knew it was a book until afterwards.
Oh, not only a book written by both Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman, but we watched it in the entirety within 2 days. We started it that Friday night, finished it Sunday morning, and it was a convention weekend, so the person that was staying here was here for a convention too, and we still managed to finish it all. But she had never read the book and loved it just as much. And my son watched it with us and had never read the book, really enjoyed it too.
Yeah, I started it the night it came out, and without meaning to, watched all of it in one sitting.
Well, I think it was, what was that, Friday midday when I texted or I messaged the group and said, have you guys started this? Because I'm like in the second episode, it's fantastic. And you're like, yeah, I'm like two episodes left. You were like already like Friday morning. So Bob, did you catch it, Good Omens?
No, I honestly have not even had a chance.
Oh, it's so good. Hey, yeah. You know, when you're doing nothing at work next time, that's a good thing to catch.
But yes, everyone check it out. The casting is fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Aziraphale and Crowley are killing it with David Tennant and Michael Sheen. But I think there was some really, I didn't know this girl who plays Anathema, and she's really good. Jack Whitehall was almost unrecognizable.
I had just coincidentally, because I think Pacific Rim Uprising had hit HBO not too long ago.
Don't watch that.
It's not worth the watch, but she's in it is the only thing. So when I saw her, I was like, oh, because she's so bad in Uprising, but she's so good in this. And that just lends to showing you how much an actor can be good or bad based on directing, because Pacific Rim Uprising was terrible, and she was not a bright spot in it. I'll just put it that way.
She's Adria Arjona is her name, and she's fantastic. I love Jack Whitehall's a funny comedian. He was almost unrecognizable. He was very good at Pulsifer. Michael McKean is
John Hamm. Brilliant. John Hamm.
John Hamm was fantastic as Gabriel. So good. So
yeah.
I can't talk enough about it. And then there's tons and tons. I've watched it. I'm watching it a second time through, and I caught a lot of them the first time through, but tons and tons of Easter eggs, both for Pratchett and Gaiman fans, but also just for like random stuff. Like, there's probably 15 different Doctor Who references I've caught, like Newton's tie at one point. Someone's license plate I saw one time is like TARDIS spelled backward. I mean, there's some bunch of really fun jokes.
I know. And then coming up in about 2 weeks, we get into Stranger Things season 3. So there's a lot of stuff coming up.
Yeah. God, we got so much. This is such the time to be in there. But okay. But speaking of time, we're running short on time. So we're moving on from streaming. Obviously, let us know what's going on there. But I did want to cover on...
Watch The Boys, though. It looks fun.
Yeah, it does. E3. Yeah. So E3, big, big things. I'm going to list them real quick and we can dive into them a little bit. Obviously, the big, big news of the week was Cyberpunk 2077. Obviously has been, I think, really the center of E3 now, like 3 straight years. We finally get a date, but more importantly, the trailer runs, you get Keanu Reeves at the end of it, and then the man who owns 2019 himself, Keanu Reeves, walks out on stage. The internet loses their collective mind, and I don't know, but I would assume pre-orders probably quadrupled. Of course, you get the Final Fantasy VII remake trailer, which I'm telling you, let's be honest, many of these remakes, remasters, it doesn't feel like anything different, but man, did this look fantastic if you guys saw it, the Final Fantasy VII remake. And then of course, surprising, we've heard for a while now about Fable coming back and hopefully reinventing their franchise with Fable 4. Metroid Prime was supposed to be big news, and Rocksteady's been working on the Secret Batman project for a while, secret with air quotes, obviously, because everybody knows it's about Batman. We heard nothing about those 3 titles. And then, of course, Gears of War was rumored to be doing kind of like a tactics thing, maybe something closer to Assassin's Creed or something like that. And instead we get a trailer for Gears of War 5 that looks to be basically just another same Gears of War game, which I love that franchise, but let's be honest, it's the fifth game of the same thing over and over again. I don't know. Real quick, as we only have a few minutes, any big takeaways from E3 for you guys?
I think no is the biggest thing. There wasn't that many outside of the Cyberpunk at the Xbox One. Bethesda's show was widely panned. They didn't mention new Elder Scrolls at all. There was a lot of games that I had never heard of that I saw trailers for that I'm now interested in, which was surprising, like that they had been kept under wraps that long. But all the stuff that everyone was looking to see, we got nothing for. Like the only thing I got pumped about, just because I'm a giant fanboy, is the little teaser trailer for sequel to Breath of the Wild.
Fantastic. That looks great, but I thought you were going to go Battletoads here for fanboying out.
No. Oh, Zelda, and then also they're the remake for the Switch of Link's Awakening, which was one of my favorite Game Boy Zelda games. Those both look good. A lot of the there was a few things I was kind of looking for that didn't look. The Avengers game didn't look good.
That looks awful.
Look good. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of great games that came out, but E3 wasn't. There wasn't much there to write home about. Outer Worlds looks good. I'm excited. That's the Obsidian RPG cyberpunk thing that looks fun. But other than that, I can't think of anything that really said, I need this game in my life right now.
Yeah, I think it was, E3 has been underwhelming for a few years, but there were some big announcements if you were excited about, certain things. I accidentally hit unmute while I was talking. But anyways, Xbox teases Project Scarlet, gives us kind of a date on that. If you want to check out more on E3, we have about 7 or 8 articles up over on projectnerd.com. Just search E3. All right, as we're winding down. So I mentioned as we started, Eisner's for the first time ever, Image sweeps the best series category. And here's what's really the kicker about it. They sweep it without a Brian K. Vaughan title, because BKV and Fiona, they took off a couple months in the fall and then took off about 4 or 5 months here in the spring from Saga. I think it was last year he had both Saga and Paper Girls in the nominees. So both of Image's titles last year were Brian K. Vaughan. So you get 6 nominations, no Brian K. Vaughan. You get Bitterroot, Crowded, Gideon Falls, Isola, Maneaters. And I tell you what, Skyward is the last one on that list. If you haven't checked out Skyward, I bought it for my son. I picked it up to read it after him. Blown away. It's fantastic. So some great series there. But Image runs away with 18 nominations. Guys, if you're reading comics right now, read Image Comics, because I feel like they can't do anything wrong at this point. They are just, for the past 6 or 7 years now, just pumping out amazing titles. And as we've talked about it, it's the big thing is that they're going and finding great writers and great creators from other publishers, specifically the big two, and saying, hey, come over here to Image, write your own title, whatever you want it to be, and release it under us. And they're doing it, and they're doing it great. So I don't know. Awesome stuff there. We are tight on time, though. So anything else before we wrap up into final thoughts or anything?
I'll see you next week.
Yeah, we're going to all be hanging out together. Big hugs. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I guess that's it. We'll head into final thoughts here in a second, but just one last reminder. If you're checking out the Project Nerd podcast, you can pick us up all over the place now, even on iHeartRadio. That's right. Head on over to iHeartRadio.com or wherever you get iHeartRadio and look for Project Nerd podcast when you can subscribe to the podcast channel that brings you not only this podcast, the Nerdcast, but also Meeple Skills, I'm Not Famous, Diving Deep, Now Streaming, and our always popular interview series, which we'll get a lot of those interviews here around the corner as Bob will be all over the place at OCON. Again, OCON Expo, June 28th, 29th, and 30th at Mid-America Center in Council Bluffs, Omaha area. We're looking forward to it. So let's give us each about a minute or two here to wrap this up with final thoughts. We're going to go alphabetically today. Bob, you want to get us started here?
Okay, sure. Hey, new releases this week at the theater. Got Toy Story 4. I think right now it's like 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. It is getting fantastic reviews.
Matt, what you got for us?
I'll see you next week.
There you go. Head on over to OCONExpo.com, right, to pick up those pre-order tickets.
Absolutely.
You can pre-order all the way up through the 27th to get that discounted rate, right?
Correct.
I saw you guys post that. Of course, follow them on social media for up-to-the-date news. And then over at projectnerd.com, that's project-nerd.com if you just stumbled upon us and didn't know our branding there, and we will post our schedules from day to day as well as what's going on. And of course, our Twitch channel and our YouTube channels are linked at the bottom and will be in some of the posts where you can catch some of that live streaming. Tyler, give us a final thought.
There's some good books out there. Max Gladstone has a new book coming out. He's taken a break from the Craft series to do a space opera that comes out next week. It sounds really good. Apparently, Suzanne Collins is going to write a prequel novel to The Hunger Games about the dark days of Pen M. So if you're interested in that, then we'll see you guys in Council Bluffs.
Yeah. And in the spirit of Adam, go play some video games. That's what he
said. Yeah, go play some video games.
That, right? So Adam, we miss you. Of course, as we talked about, he's heading across the seas there. We won't see him next week at OCON because he's going to be on a plane for quite a few hours, very uncomfortable, while we're hanging out with Matt over at the Mid-America Center. So
having fun.
Ha ha, Adam. Ha ha ha. And then he can post a picture of him in Europe and say, ha ha. So I don't know, but he'll be back though. Once we get all situated, of course, we'll get back to our normal schedule here with the normal team on the Nerdcast. For my final thought, I just adding on to the OCON, but you'll catch us at other shows afterwards as well. Big thing is we plan to just book a ton of content, but if you are in Omaha, Council Bluffs, do come down and see us. Like I said, great show. We talked about it the whole first half of the episode, all the great things you can do. For the first time ever, I'm really excited. We're going to have audience seating there. And to me, the reason this is so big is when you go to a convention, not just Omaha, but any show, you see people just sitting against the wall, lined up on the floor. We're taking care of that for you. We're putting about 40 seats in our section. Come sit down, relax, hang out. Mm-hmm. And while you're sitting there, you'll catch some awesome programming. We got all kinds of stuff. Like I said, at our podcast plaza, you can see that schedule over at oconexpo.com. Cosplay, podcasting, comics, creator spotlights, everything going on there. And then all the fun we do have over on the couches for our live streaming. But other than that, man, yeah, I'll just reiterate, man, good omens. Loved it. I think that's been one of my favorite things lately. I will be starting Jessica Jones. So by the time we do get to Omaha, I'll have some of that to talk about. So you guys make sure you catch up as well. As always, leave your comments and feedback wherever you catch us. You can always find the Project Nerd Podcast across many channels. So if you did stumble upon us somewhere else, but you didn't know, we are on Apple Podcasts. We are on Google Play. We are also over on Stitcher, as well as Spotify. And as I mentioned, now iHeartRadio. But of course, you can catch everything we're doing over at projectnerd.com. That's project-nerd.com. As well as follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all that fun jazz. With that, guys, that's 197. Let's go get ready for some OCON Expo, guys.
Woohoo!
All right, signing out. Until next time, same nerd channel.
Hey, Pro Nerds, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.